Welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt, the Bud Knight.
And I am Sir Ezra, the Watchful. And friends, we have been watching this trailer over and over and over. We brought on a special guest today. We brought in the expert to break it down with us. We have Sir Jimmy from the Fantasy Network. How's it going, man?
I mean, it's going well. I don't know about introducing me as an expert. I'm more of a fanboy and a mark, but, you know, okay. I'll take it. I'll take it.
I just wanted to, you know, up our cred over here a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I tried anything, you know, just pull the wool over their eyes for a while. But no, we are going to break this down because, I mean, we've got this is I'm excited for this. Matt, how are you feeling about the, I mean, trailer?
Yes. Let me tell you. So yesterday, it was like I had a million things going on. Like I'm leaving my job because I got a new job and they like trying to get me to do all these like different projects and stuff before I leave. So like everyone's been like, hey, like we do all this stuff and this stuff. It's like all this stuff's going on. And Ez and I were set to record. We've actually been set to record, you know, because we record all these different shows, multiple things, multiple times this week. But every time we go to record something, House of the Dragon drops something. We're like, okay, sweet. Right. So we were assuming that this trailer was going to drop Saturday during the Comic-Con panel. And right. Then the same thing that House of the Dragon does, which is, hey, they start tweeting and it's like, we're going to start showing you pictures. And every time they say we're going to show you pictures, the next thing that happens is they just drop a whole trailer. So it's like, well, you know, like, why not just drop the pictures the day before and then drop the trailer? Then, yeah, right. But I don't know. It's whatever they're doing and it's sick. And I'm just loving every second of it.
It feels like there's some confidence behind these drops.
Oh, absolutely. Oh.
You know what I'm saying? You know,
absolutely. I've also been playing Multiverses. The new Warner Brothers fighting game. It's like Smash Brothers. It's like sort of open beta right now, but I bought the whatever, like mega pack, so I get to play it early with like unlock all the characters, and Arya Stark is in it and it's freaking sweet. And it's just like even small stuff like that is hyping me up for House of the Dragon even more.
Yeah. You know what's hyping me up is all these other trailers that are out there trying to, you know, push their way into headlines and what have you and make headway. Fellas, this fall, there will be literally a dragon reigning over Westeros, right? And there's going to, I mean, it's just, we're going to have dragons galore. I don't think people understand what's about to happen.
They have no idea.
Jimmy, they have no idea.
So here's the thing. So Jimmy and I, you know, we have a Facebook chat with, as we all do. It's like a little group we have. Shout out to Ryan and Sir Matthew Perry as well. But one of the things that Jimmy and I are always tweeting, or, you know, at least posting on this Facebook group back and forth, is like comments of people being like, after season 8, like, it's one thing, we didn't like season 8, you know, whatever, everybody didn't, but the people who were like, this season 8 ruined Game of Thrones forever. Like, it'll never, ever, ever come back. Like, there's no way they could do a prequel.
The IP's dead.
It's dead. The IP's dead. It's so screwed. And then they're like, hey, we're going to do this House of the Dragon. Everyone's like, oh my God, it's so stuck. Like, everyone's so done with that after season 8, whatever.
Right.
Even though Ez and I have been there, right?
Yep.
We were there during the Star Wars sequels when everyone said, I'm so done with Star Wars. and then this little show called The Mandalorian came out, and everyone was like, okay, well, Star Wars is pretty sick.
Well, I got
yeah, okay. So anyway, so Jim and I are always messaging each other. And then the moment they dropped the House of the Dragon thing, we were just like posting all of like these comments back and forth, and people would be like, all right, not going to lie, like low-key kind of excited for this. And now everyone's like, oh my God, can't wait. It's like, of course, that's what we've been saying for 2 years.
Hey, you know what? You know what? It's all water under the bridge. All water under the bridge. I love to say I told you so. But right. You know what? We welcome these people back because really Westeros is better with everybody here.
It is. Yeah.
It's even better when everybody likes and subscribes, you know, so make sure you guys are doing that here on Bend the Knee.
Amen. Amen. Good God. Hey, you know, I know we're going to break down the trailer, but while we got Jimmy here, wasn't there just like days ago this promotional, you know, kind
of. So there we've actually had two sort of House of the Dragon trailers this week. We had the first one was on Monday or Tuesday, which was this behind the scene, and it was George talking, right?
Yep.
And he was talking about the team he's been building with, you know, Ryan and Miguel. And he's talking about how, like, Miguel, you know, hey, he's won an Emmy, right?
Yeah, right.
They filmed these huge epic battles. I mean, he won an Emmy. Yeah. And it was funny because then we were joking about Wheel of Time, which we also cover. But it's like, you know, here at House of the Dragon, we've got a Emmy award winning, you know, showrunner here. And at Wheel of Time, they have a Survivor contestant.
Right.
So, you know, like.
What you got to do?
I mean, I'm here for the, I'm here for the Wheel on Time slander. I'm here.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, that, you're right, though. So it's like, you know, we had two big drops. And I think, I guess my question to Jimmy is, you saw the one with George where he was just talking and everything, right? I mean, did you feel like, because I thought, again, we weren't going to get this till Saturday. And yeah, you talked same. About the confidence that they have just coming out, dropping this stuff and saying, hey, we're going to walk in here and we're just, you know, I mean, we're just going at it. So they dropped that. And it just felt like in that first one, the trailer's amazing. We'll get to it in a second. But there was such confidence in that first drop that I was like, they are just coming in strong.
Yeah, I mean, on top of that, you know, the article that Entertainment Weekly did, which is, in my opinion, a terrible publication, but they did do a very nice job with this article, and they talked about some of the things that they've disagreed on in the production. Miguel wanted to change, I think it was Miguel, I might be getting it wrong, but Miguel wanted to change some of the Targaryen names, said, hey, they're kind of hard to pronounce, and apparently Ryan was like, absolutely not. So we have a guy there who is true to George's vision.
There you go,
You know, to an extent. Do I think the changes are being made? Yeah, I even think maybe from the trailers we're starting to see some of that come out. However, I still think that like what they have and what they're going to do is going to be a very compelling story while still getting the heart of it all. And I thought the Entertainment Weekly article was excellent. And George does seem to be very, very positive on this. And he's not going to say, hey, my show is going to suck. Like, he's not going to do that.
Right, right, yeah.
But if you go back and look at some of the press that he did, like pre-season 8, post-season 8, like right after, you know, he was complimentary, but it never felt like he was putting that big seal stamp on it, right?
No.
I feel that here. I feel that here, and I think that it reminds me a lot of whenever Thrones was like at its peak, and he was so proud. So I feel very confident with the way George is being, you know, forthcoming about the show and how confident he is. But on top of that, the fact that George is being, you know, he reviewed every single script. That's pretty big.
Yeah.
So I think Ryan's there to keep the lore pretty consistent, like within means. You know, it is an adaptation, so we need to expect some changes.
Sure.
Know, contrary to, you know, us nerds' beliefs, you know, that can happen and still be very compelling. Right. So I feel good, man. I feel really, really good.
Well, I wanted to say, too, because I felt the same confidence that, because you pick up on stuff. You pick up on body language. You pick up on just – George is very particular in his word choice and like you said, his stamp of approval or whatever. He really can't – he wanted it to be known for sure, even in what he said in that, was that he's in on this, right? That he is – he's a part of this. And he wanted that to be just known, right? That, like, I am here and I'm with them on this. And it just – it felt like it had a bit of like more approval. And I think, again, it's early. We're just starting this whole thing and everything, right? So, but that can change over the years, as we saw with Game of Thrones. But still, that feels good to have that coming in to season one here. And I'm glad, they're not changing things like the names and stuff like that. People will learn how to say, you know, the names.
Araxes. Well, also, those are the things that set this apart. Because even though they're very difficult names, and I mess them up all the time. I don't know about you guys, but I mess them up consistently.
Yeah.
However, that's like part of the secret sauce of Westeros, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yep. This makes it stand out more. So, and then I think we're going to get into here in just a second, but as we break down the trailer, there was a lot of really cool. We have the trailer is actually giving us a better understanding of, like, I think how things are going to go, what they're going to do. Matt and I've been talking about
the timeline of this,
right?
I'm actually beginning to wonder one of two things is happening. One, it's going to be heavy flashbacks in the first few episodes, which is all of what we're getting in the trailer, like a lot of shows do. Like, we've covered enough Star Wars to know, as like The Mandalorian, they're very specific with their trailers, is that like whatever you see is only stuff in like the first three episodes.
Right. Yep.
Not everyone else does that. Sometimes they'll show like a little snippet or a line from other things down the line. Because like Stranger Things showed stuff in their trailer that was like in their second part of that first trailer.
Right.
So, because we've seen so much of young Rhaenyra, I'm wondering, is like season one just going to be very focused on their backstory? And every time we cover it, but the women they have playing young Rhaenyra and young Alicent literally look like they could be like their like sister. I mean, like in real life, looked like they. I mean, they just look just like them. It is like mind-boggling to me how awesome. Good like that. Because like other things, like the girl that plays young Leia in Obi-Wan. I don't know that she really like. I mean, yeah, it's like great. Like she was great in the role, but when I look at her, do I think like young Carrie Fisher? No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get you.
The kid they had playing Luke Skywalker looked like nothing like Mark Hamill. So
right, it's tough. Yeah, again, yeah, it's like you have these. And the weird thing is that it's actually easier to do. Like you brought up the Kenobi example when there's a greater gap. And you can actually kind of shake your head and be like, ah, whatever. It's more you suspend. You look at Anakin Skywalker versus
here. You're doing like, a direct look at comparison.
Episode one, versus episode two. You know what I mean? You had Hayden Christensen and you had that and you had Jake Lloyd. So but here, you know, you have. Yeah. Again, you're trying to. I mean, they're closer in age, right? They're actually closer, supposedly. And they look
and
they
you're look and you're going to be flashing back between them as young and current.
Right.
Well,
right.
I actually think it's going to be possibly going to be linear. I think that it'll. I think they will set it up. I think because there's enough material there. I mean, you could do the flashbacks. I kind of hope they don't do the flashbacks, though. If I'm being honest, I would prefer it to be linear. And then Noelle actually, I think, said this in the chat. She said a 10-year time jump in the middle of the season. I think you have a mid-season finale and then you jump. But you're right. It could be flashbacks. We really don't know at this point. It does seem that from the article I read that Alicent. I just had someone drive by and honk the horn at my house.
Let's go.
Sorry. Yeah. I do think Rhaenyra and Alicent are going to be friends and then Alicent will marry. So that's a little bit different than what we have, but I think that's actually pretty interesting. I think one of the things about Fire and Blood that we don't get because it's a history is a lot of the dynamics in the relationships. We just know who did not get along. Maybe what triggered those events, but like the interpersonal relationships there are something that these creators are going to have to figure out. So I actually like that change quite a bit.
Yeah, for sure. Because I mean, I was talking to Matt the other day about this. I was like, when I read Fire and Blood and you get this sort of backstory on Alicent Hightower, you don't get a whole lot of that. Interaction with a young Rhaenyra. It's really their interactions are when they're first married before she has kids and all that kind of stuff. But they're showing you something like prior to her. I don't know. Like it felt like when she was.
Well, King, I don't know, like King Jaehaerys is in this.
Yeah, exactly. So you're going back far enough that you could do. I mean, Alicent Hightower there with him and everything, which is cool. So I love the idea that it would just be a linear thing with a time jump or whatever, because the first half of this is going to be. I feel like the young actors are just gonna tear it up. It's.
Do you think? And Jimmy, because this is one thing we haven't talked to. We haven't talked to you about yet. Like the fact that Jaehaerys is going to be in this.
It's wild.
It's crazy.
It's wild.
Like, it was like we were all just assuming like, hey, maybe like they like he would just be dead or whatever. But now that we get this, like, because you know, one of the big things about Alicent. Is that people believe she was perhaps the one who did King Jaehaerys finally in, because she's the only one in the room with him as he dies.
I think a lot of stuff happened in those rooms.
Amen.
The dogs were barking, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yep, they were. Well, and so actually there was in that article or the images that were released, there's a hint towards that, which is that her father is setting all this up. Otto Hightower is there setting a lot of their kind of takeover. And something really interesting too, if you notice, and we'll bring the trailer up here in a second, she wears the seven-pointed star and they're from Old Town. So you've got the Faith, you've got the Citadel backing them. The Targaryens, when they came in, I mean, you kind of think about it, we're not too far away, I guess, even from, we're 100 years from the conquest. So a lot of these individuals were, you know, you think about the old king being there and being younger or whatever. The realm wasn't so satisfied with the Targaryens and their marriages, more than one wife and marrying your sisters. And, oh, I don't know. Daemon looks like he's going to hook up with his niece in this.
So here's a question. Yeah. I mean,
people know that that's going to be a thing yet.
Oh, sorry. Are we not allowed to? I mean,
we're doing spoilers.
No. We're not that we're doing spoilers, but I just think that people like just your average person watching it.
Right.
are they gonna like get to that point like, wow, Game of Thrones is all about incest, you know?
well this one certainly is. There is a lot of people online, and people have mentioned in the chat already, it's saying that Aegon, is this going to become down to Daemon and Rhaenyra? Are they going to clash and change that? I think it could be a red herring, but it could happen. Now, some of the clips in the trailer would not make a ton of sense, in my opinion. The tourney thing kind of looks like Rhaenyra is kind of like looking at him with like lust almost at one point in the trailer. Also the bridge scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think that it kind of looks like the Hightowers and the Daemon are on one side and the other, I think.
Yeah.
I'm seeing mixed signals. I'm seeing that Daemon is your, he said, I'm your heir. Right.
Yeah.
In the trailer. So I just want to say this. I saw some people say, if that happens, I'm out. I don't think that, I think it's a huge change, but like it still can keep the overall theme of the story. Like that's still a compelling story to tell, in my opinion. So I'm not that hung up on if they change that, but I have seen a lot of people say, you know, if Aegon's not in this, I'm out.
I'm very certain that Aegon will be in it. I just think it's going to be like a season two thing because you already have to establish so many characters and everything.
Yeah.
To bring it in. And like the trailer again is targeted to people who like know nothing about the books or anything. So it's people who are just watching it You're like, hey, we have Matt Smith, by the way. Like that's your big deal. You're trying to push for. Because I'm sure a bunch of people watch the trailer and they didn't even know that the little girls, like the little Rhaenyra, is the same as the woman who's in the thing. Because you watching the trailer by yourself, like without any Game of Thrones at all, you would not know that. You would just be like, oh, it's a different character. Maybe that's the same
point, woman. Man. If you're just at large watching this, you're not really paying much attention. That's going to be something that when you go into it, it will be explained. We all kind of know that
it'll be explained, right?
Yeah, but they'll have to kind of wade through that, which actually might the easiest way to do it then might be to go linear and not do, I mean, flashback. I mean, it would work either way, but it's
it just depends on how you do it, obviously.
I think that you're on to something. I think maybe season two he'll be a bigger deal. What is BTS? Someone said Aegon was showed on the
behind the scenes.
Okay, I'm sitting here like,
oh, was it? Let me pull that up. Okay,
yeah, but people are saying also is kind of cast as a secondary actor, so we'll have to see. I guess what I just wanted to say was if that is a change, I'm okay with it. Like, I really don't mind that much. I think that there's still an interesting story to be told if it is Daemon. And there's going to be quite a bit of changes if that's the truth. But I don't think so. Like I said, the bridge scene, it kind of leans into the fact that maybe Daemon and Rhaenyra are on the same side. Also, I really loved the fact that we see Cole training Aemon Targaryen, which we know ends up being a big rival of Rhaenyra.
You did. And you did the Aemon one eye. You did see his eye patch. Oh, sick.
Sick.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say, I'm actually Otto Hightower, the actor who's playing Otto Hightower.
Yeah, which is the guy from The Replacements.
The Replacements. I was like, because I was like, I know I've seen him in something before. What is it? Yeah, he's in The Replacements. That's right.
Also, we have a comment and it says it was confirmed that it will be linear in the article that came out. So,
really?
Yeah, well, it will be a linear story, which I think is much better. Right. And now thinking about that, I actually could see Aegon being a bigger character in season two. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you can't because like you're already doing so much in season one. You're having this like time jump that's going to happen. You're two. We already know who the Targaryens are, but you have to explain here's two sides of the Targaryens that want to like, you know, kill each other. Mm-hmm. Then you have to explain this entire house that nobody in Game of Thrones who only watched Game of Thrones knows about called House Valyrian and why they're important.
Go.
And then like the Hightowers. And so like there's all new people. Although if you remember the original trailer, like the very first one, it is going to be cool because when like Viserys is like sitting down and like in the trailer it's like I Rickard Stark and I like Baratheon and stuff. So sick. By the way, I went and rewatched it because I was like, this new trailer is pretty good, but I went back and watched that and I was like, this is still the best trailer, or at least like the one that got me like the most freaking hyped,
right? So right,
but I think that'll be good for people to hear some of those names, you know, like right out the gate probably.
Yeah, right, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let me see here. What are we thinking, Matt? If you want
to pull it up and we can start clicking through, then I'll hammer out some of these comments. How much time do you think we'll spend in the Vale with like Emma Aaron? I think we see her. I think in that entertainment article picture with like the whole cast there, I think we saw that was her standing there with next to a Viserys when they were standing around King Jaehaerys. So,
okay. Yeah.
That's going to be interesting. So where do we think where do we think season one ends?
I liked kind of what Michaela said, that it's Rhaenyra being crowned in the Dance Over Storm's End. I think that's a really good spot to end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Here we go. Let me see if that, you guys see that. All right.
Ez only has
one screen, so
loser. Amateur hour over here, you know.
You can turn the volume down so we don't get flagged again by Warner Brothers.
Ridiculous. So we're just kind of watch this through just for a little bit here, and then we'll just talk about it as it's coming up here. I'll go back through and click through. But there's some really cool. I mean, there's some really cool stuff here that people kind of pointed out just in terms of symbols and then like symbolic gestures. Sir Criston Cole pulling out his sword with young Rhaenyra there and all that sort of stuff. So
yeah. it's gonna be hard to watch Daemon lose that fight in the tourney.
Yeah. Also, Giggity Cole pulling out the sword next to Rhaenyra.
Right. That's exactly what I was talking about. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we're gonna. That's right. I mean, she has a little infatuation with him, or what? Something's up. And then Uncle Daemon is showing up later. You know, like it's Game of Thrones, people. I mean, it's House of the Dragon. Like,
let's get messy.
Yeah.
It is also going to be weird because we're going to see Daemon talking to her when she's a kid, and then see Daemon talking to her when. She's an adult, and then they, you know what I mean? Like there's definitely going to be some pushback for that online.
Yeah, for sure. So this is interesting, you know, just being on the Iron Throne series and the blood, right? He's bleeding. So he's got pricked finger there, and they say, what do they say that? That's, I mean, it could indicate that you're cursed in some way. There's some lore around that a little bit, but yeah, just the idea that the Iron Throne,
The legacy he leaves behind, the mess he leaves behind is
right.
Very symbolic of the blood that's left on the throne.
There you go. Yep. So just that's pretty cool. And this shot right here. So this is
the dragon pit.
The dragon pit. Okay.
Which all later we see a statue of what I believe to be Balon or Balerion. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. So in Game of Thrones, dragon pit. When you go to the dragon pit, it's like an open thing because it's now like in ruins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah,
is that Balerion right there? You think? I think that's what that statue is.
A statue of him. Yeah.
Wow, like,
dude, that statue's sick.
Well, that's kind of wild to think, right? So we're seeing a different. I mean, we know this, but I mean, King's Landing is going to be different, and to think about the dragon pit and things that were enclosed and just different. Statues or what elements that are Targaryen. That's
right.
Yeah. That's attention.
It still is like 100 and, you know, almost 50 years. So,
I'm an idiot. What are these things that they're putting down here?
So I've seen people say that they think it's going to be something along the lines of how they take their oaths. Like each one has a piece of it. I don't know what they are though. I don't remember them in Fire and Blood and I don't remember them in the lore, but someone could probably correct us.
It looks like, I mean, if you look at this, right, it's got like a marble or
something. Yeah, marble.
Like, but each of them has sort of like a blackening. I don't know if it's a vote, if they're voting on something in the council, which is interesting. If you go, they all have them out, and I guess maybe the guy in the end doesn't have his out. I can't tell if there's a, you know, like a, well, I'm going to call them stones or something. I don't even know what they are. Just like looks like an egg. I have no freaking clue. Rhaenyra is running around here. She's the cupbearer, right? So she's the realm's delight,
right?
Which is pretty cool. People are saying that Kingsguard member back there is maybe, I could be wrong, Ryman Redwine, possibly, who was around for the first year or so, like early, and dies. Because Sir Criston Cole will step up. There has to be a reason for him to come on to the Kingsguard. So whether it's just a death of some kind or, you know, falls, who knows what it would be, but Kingsguard member dies. He's going to win some renown in that tourney at Maidenpoor or whatever. But yeah, I just think this is cool. I mean, you got Hightower in there pulling strings, hand of the king. He's got the hand of the king thing there. Let's go back here. This is the tournament, right? I mean, this is,
yes.
Is this not at, is this for Viserys crowning, right? Is this his coronation sort of tourney? Is that what you guys like Maidenpool?
I think it is. It's the one where, yeah, it's where he loses.
I think so, yeah. This is where Sir Criston Cole will win renown, and he'll win, I think,
Rhaenyra's
favor. Yeah.
Yeah, he beats Daemon, and then he wins the...
Because they got the melee, they've got they're then going to ride, they're going to joust and everything. So it just looks really cool to see this, right? I mean, but you see this, you're just like, oh my God, tournaments. Because season one was so cool because we had the hands tourney, you know? And then this is where your fighters, you know, one of the fun things to do, we do this Star Wars, any fandom that you're in, it's like, who's the most powerful? Who's the strongest? Who would win in a fight? And so to have this is cool to see.
So this could be episode, this could even be episode 2 or 3.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Early. Seems like still, yes. Yep, exactly. So
that armor.
Look at him. I mean, he's armor, look at the so swagger.
Sick.
Hold on, look at the swagger that he has coming in here. Just look at this. It's like, what's
Matt,
up?
That's up? Matt. That's Matt. That's just Matt Smith, man. That's just
I love does. It. I
he's
love
got,
that.
He's got that swag. Did you see? Well, not a lot of people saw it because it wasn't that good, even though there's memes about it. Morbius, where he has that, where he's like dancing around. Morbius. It's like there's memes about it. Like, it's yeah.
Wow. So yeah. So then we have this young Rhaenyra. She's at the tourney. She's looking out there. She sees her uncle. Then we're gonna cut over here to some other. Let's watch a few minutes more here. Get him out. I mean, but what's going on between these two? Are they actually gonna be? Are they? I mean, how far are they gonna go with the whole? Like, are they married? I mean, they. You know what I'm saying? Like, are we gonna?
She doesn't look like she's returning the phone call. She left him on red.
Well, I'm interested that he's even calling. You know what I mean? He's not known for, I don't know. That's not normally who. Anyway, interesting to see those two. I love the settings here, though. This is cool to see the gold cloaks, right? To see this is pretty neat to see Daemon kind of doing his thing. And we know early on that he and Corlys Velaryon. See, there's almost like two phases, right? It's like Daemon kind of has.
Right.
It's before Rhaenyra, and then
Daemon has the phase where he thinks he's the heir because he's the brother.
Yep.
And then he has the era where he realizes he's no longer the heir.
Right.
And exactly. Okay. Well, then I'll become king through Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
And against Alicent is sort of his thing.
Right, because doesn't he, and I'm just trying to recall here on the spot, and you guys in the chat, feel free to help us out on this, but doesn't he team up with Corlys a little bit? Don't they go to the Stepstones?
They go to the Stepstones, yes. And Viserys is kind of like, let him go do his thing, keeps him out of my hair, keeps him out of trouble. Yep. And there is actually shots of the War of the Stepstones in this trailer.
That's what I thought, okay.
Which are, they look great. They'll be fighting against some Dornish men down there. I mean, it's going to be, I think that will be a very big episode.
Right. Yes. And then he comes back victorious, and then that's sort of like the
Let's look, because I think there's a shot with the crown when he comes back and he takes off his crown, sort of, right? So let's look for that. But yeah, it's just cool to see that he's got this whole group behind him. They're all really his men, and he gives them those gold cloaks. Now, this scene is interesting. That's Sir Criston Cole up here, and you have what looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Contenders
is this at King's Landing, isn't that the room where Cersei is like drinking wine and like, you know, plotting almost the entire time? And then later they have the map.
Yeah, the map is in this room, I believe.
Right. I think like the mountain. I remember there's a moment where the mountain.
There's a moment where she tells Baelish. It's like almost like every Cersei scene takes place like in this courtyard.
Right. So I don't know if this, I haven't really read up much on
the scenes in King's Landing or not. I think it's that same room.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It looks like it. So I'm guessing you've got a Kingsguard member here. You had Sir Criston Cole up there at the front. There are 7 pieces here, which I think represent the Kingsguard, right? You've got a dragon there in the center for them to protect. Is that
there's one missing?
Right. So, and Sir Criston Cole was there. So what's the chat think? I mean,
this is Sir Criston Cole getting his position,
like, chosen, you know.
Yes, I think so. And Rhaenyra's there; she can look down upon him.
Right. I just think it's pretty cool. So you have the dragon; it looks like a dragon piece there at the center, and then each of the other maybe members. Although it's not really, I was trying to break this down. It looks like you have the hunter there. It would be like a Tarly or something. I don't know. So it's. Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out like which are the current members of the King's Guard. I went and looked it up, and what they have during that time period didn't necessarily match with all the pieces I was seeing out here on the board. So again, you talk about changes, but they want to throw houses too in there that we already know, and that people can, right, that they can make connections to the Game of Thrones series. So I think that's,
yeah, you could easily, like, that's one area where it's like, if you want to change stuff and you want to just be like, okay, we're gonna have like a Stark or a Lannister as like these other member of Kingsguards. You know what I mean? Just something where you get to hear their name more often.
Well, Glyph says those are Rhaenyra's suitors. The statues are the houses of the people that are there. Yeah.
Oh,
interesting that one's missing though.
So, yeah, I'm just wondering why there's seven too. You know what I mean? Like, I was thinking, and there's a Kingsguard member there, but hey, maybe though, actually. Yeah. That's, I never thought about that.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's go back to some, we'll watch this scene here. Really cool. Stepping up, looking good. Cole's looking good. And that was cool. So this is the bridge scene you were talking about, Jimmy, right? We're coming up there. It'll be another scene, another shot later, but this is the start of it, right? Or maybe?
This is Dragonstone, right?
Okay.
Or am I wrong?
No, you might be. Yeah.
And then the dragon's flying over. Looks like Dragonstone to me.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. Oh, boy. Here he is. There's our guy. He's back. He's got some sort of crown on, right? So Daemon's got...
Right.
He got a little crown situation on here. He's got a one of the Kingsguard members has a sword to his chest. He's looking down at like, what? What are you gonna do?
Oh, I know.
I just love
this shot.
His attitude, his mentality, everything about this is.
Yeah, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Matt Smith is about to be like, you know, Peter. Like, if you go back and you look at like the stretch of like seasons 2 through 6 of the Emmys. When it coincided with Game of Thrones, it's sort of like Peter Dinklage won like every year. It's just like every year, just boom, 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 just like knocking out Emmys.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, here we go. Scooch on a little bit here. Yeah, it's your duty to take a new wife. Wow, and you see them plotting. You see all this going down here. Talk between Daemon and
boom.
There it is. So this is Lady Misery, right? Behind him, I'm guessing.
Yeah, she should have Daemon's child. Mm-hmm. And then Viserys ends up sending her away.
Yeah.
I believe. Now, who's across the other side of the bridge? Play the trailer a little bit.
I don't think we...
Otto Hightower. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this, again, kind of points that like he's going to be against Allison. So he's probably with Rhaenyra, which makes me feel like they're not switching the heir.
No, I don't think they are. No.
Yeah, so this is kind of cool. I mean, because again, this is a problem. Viserys is seeing this as a problem.
If you think for television, just in terms of television's sake, the way you do it is you sort of have it like, because it's all about this tug of war. Like that's what Game of Thrones was, and what made it awesome was like it was this big tug of war. Except in Game of Thrones, was being pulled in all these different directions.
Yeah,
and every time. You thought your side was like, okay, man, we just got ahead, right?
Yeah.
Something happened and boom, like somebody comes in out of nowhere. It's like if you're watching Game of Thrones with no knowledge, you're sitting there watching the Battle of the Blackwater and you're thinking like, oh, this is so sick. Like Cersei's going to die. Like everything's going good. Like Stannis Baratheon's taking it. And then the next thing you know, here comes Tywin Lannister with the Tyrells out of nowhere. And you're like, what? And now the Tyrells are a big
deal. Here comes the cavalry, but for the bad guys.
Like the way you introduce Aegon the Third is you do it in a moment in which Daemon and Rhaenyra are winning, and you need that sort of like boom to come in and be like, okay, well now. I think we'll see him season 2.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, and we do have to keep in mind, you know, we're talking about this and all these details, but like the general viewer, the people who are going to make this a hit show that are going to tune in weekly, do not know any of this. So, Matt, no. I think you're right. You know, people are just not aware. So,
well, and you can, because if you remember, like in season 1 of Game of Thrones, it's the same in the book as well. Even better, to be honest, in the books. In season 1 of Game of Thrones, you hear about the king beyond the wall, Mance Rayder. You hear about Stannis Baratheon, the king's brother. Now, we don't see them until season, well, Mance you don't see, I think, until season 3. But then Stannis, you see season two, and that's now here's that new player. Balon Greyjoy emerges as this new player. So like you can reference them, but you just you wanna save them coming in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, real quick, I just noticed something interesting. I'm gonna go back here and we'll comb forward.
You know, Jimmy, every holiday season, I find myself with a dilemma. At my wife's extended family Christmas, we do a white elephant gift, and I never know what to get.
Well, Matt, spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. Gifts that spark joy, wonder, delight, and that it's exactly what I wanted feeling.
Yeah, they scour the globe for original handmade, absolutely remarkable things. Somehow they know exactly the perfect gift for every single person you know. Here's a few of my favorite gifts that I found on their website. Things like chocolate from around the world, handcrafted cribbage boards, wine glasses, bourbon sets, just about anything you want to find that would be a unique or uncommon gift they have in their selection.
And when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season.
Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade in the U.S. They have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere. They even have gifts that you can personalize.
And from holiday host to hostess gift to the coolest finds for kids to hits for everyone from book lovers to diehard sports fans, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, not the same old selections you can find just anywhere.
And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/bendtheknee. That's uncommongoods.com/bendtheknee for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Lionel Strong. We're just noticing the captions here. Can you guys see the captions on that?
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, Lionel Strong. I'm just looking at the names of some of the speakers here. I hadn't really given that much thought. You know, you've got Hightower there, but Lionel Strong. I just wanted to throw that out there for you guys to kind of chew on a bit, thinking about his presence. All right, let's move on here a little bit. Let me go back. Here's a bridge scene. All right. Is that just Pryor? That's ER. Did he pull his sword out or what?
it looks like he might be getting ready. You know, I mean.
Yeah. What the heck? You can move that? Oh my gosh.
The internet's cool. That's cool. The real best Targaryen. Yeah.
Right here? Yeah.
Rhaenys, baby. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. The queen who never was. Yeah.
She has a lot to say, and this is pretty cool. Again, I feel like, I don't know. I it's going to be really interesting to hear some of that lore, the Great Council of 101 AC, and sort of everything that happened, and then how does that affect what Corlys is doing and everything. It is really an interesting dynamic to have in there. Almost at first being a little bitter about stuff, then they get Rhaenyra into their family, and then the Hightowers are coming in, having children as well. And it's such a great setup to just a tragic, crazy story. But yeah, her story is awesome.
Rhaenys is one of my favorite characters in all of Westeros lore, like definitely up there. And I think that this actress looks exactly what I was expecting.
Oh yeah.
Really nailed it. And when she delivers her lines in the trailer, they say, I mean, it's gonna be good. She has a little edge to her. Really excited.
She also benefits a little bit too from being a little bit older, because I will say, and I think it's just mostly because we've been looking at pictures, but when you see it in action, it doesn't seem as weird. But like the wigs, like the Targaryen wigs, you know what I mean? There's a few moments where I'm like, they look like a little sort of, you know, sort of a little weird. But so like hers looks like natural. Looks like that's just like, you know.
Oh yeah, everything's legit.
Yeah.
So here we go. Just another beautiful shot of young Rhaenyra walking around, contemplating things, talking to Rhaenys. Yeah. And then here we go. That was takeover time. Yeah, just look at, I mean, all the detail on again, just the necklace.
Oh, the costuming and everything is so sick.
Now, what's interesting, I think this necklace that she's wearing here is, I could be the one that we saw Damon give young Rhaenyra earlier. People were talking about what was going on there, that exchange of jewelry or whatever that he or she handed. There was an exchange. We might see it here in a second too. But yeah, dragon
so
riders,
much dragon, so much dragon. And here's the War of the Stepstones.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, this looks great. That was obviously a Dornishman, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's
laid the waste.
Guys, we are, as we are recording this, this is 30 days.
Yeah, yes, it is. Oh my gosh, crazy
right,
to think about.
This little detail right here. Watch Matt Smith's hair move when the dragon breathes.
Yeah.
These are the little things that like go a long way with me.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Because you know that's probably a prop and some green screen CGI effects. So like the fact that they look at that detail. Now, I have heard people complain about this shot. They said they feel like the dragon looks a bit cartoonish, but I don't think it looks any worse or better than the Game of Thrones show, which is to say I never minded it. Did you guys have any feelings about it?
No, I will say the difference here is that when John is petting some, I think he pets Drogon, right? When they're up on Dragonstone, like we really don't see Daenerys's dragons once they're big that often in a setting like this, where you have this super wide angle shot like you have here. So I think it's a combination of this is a red dragon as opposed to like the black one. The John shot is also like super zoomed in when he's petting him and in season 7 and like just on like the face that he's sort of petting. So like he's like sort of, you know, this dragon sort of spread out with like his, you know, his wings like fully out. And it's also the setting that he's into. Like I get it a little bit if people say that this shot looks a little cartoonish, but I think it's just a combination of like the whole, I mean, what are you gonna do? Go get like a real dragon? I mean, come on. It's gonna look, I'm Marvel looks cartoonish in some settings.
Well, and that's what was my defense. One, I don't know anything about CGI, so I can never comment on the comment of it. Like I can tell when something kind of looks a little weird, but to me, like it always looks a little weird because it's CGI. But I think the colors of the dragons, them being so unique in the movements, like they're gonna display a lot more of the dragons here. So
no, it looks sick.
That looks amazing. Yeah. Right there. But in this one shot here, I just had, but then flying around, we also see a little bit of Vhagar.
It looks less cartoonish than some of the direwolves did.
I agree, Matt. I actually said that. So no one cared about the direwolves. Look how big.
Huge.
This huge. Foot is. Oh, yeah. This claw. No, this is insane.
Right. Yeah, this is it's impressive. And you just feel it. Right. I mean, look at the flames here.
We've never seen a dragon this size on screen.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Well, I don't know. I think Drogon's bigger.
No, Drogon. Well, at least in the book lore, those dragons, even at full grown, are like a fraction of what
I thought Drogon is like Balerion's like reincarnation.
No, George said that even Drogon like pales in comparison to the original dragons.
Okay.
Yeah. Now in the show they may, I don't know, but in the book.
Yeah, I think maybe it's just the show that I'm.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, just kind of continuing through here with our click through. These two. So what's up here? They're both here. We have Alicent and we've got Rhaenyra, both older, and it looks like maybe her father. I mean, it looks like Alicent was sitting on the throne or was in front of it taking, you know, sort of like if the king is sick or something is happening, or maybe this is much later than we think and Rhaenyra just shows up, but like has war broke out. I don't think so. Right. I mean, it's just an interesting, they're both here. Alicent is queen because she's married to her father. Is her father dead yet? You know, the whole thing. I'm just kind of wondering how they're going
to
be.
Yeah, it's a little tough to say here. The only thing I could see maybe is this is a moment wherever Rhaenyra's confronting Alicent about something, marrying her father for a trap by chance, you know, and then Otto butt kicks in the door or something. You know, it seems like Rhaenyra's on the back foot here. So
yeah, oh yeah, like they were having a conversation and somebody just okay, Alicent.
I just read up about the dragons. Well, yeah, and some of it is even in the books, they don't ever specifically say like that he whether about the size or whatever, but the show, just sort of the way it frames Drogon, also makes him look like he's like massive. Freaking enormous, because a lot of shots of like, here's Danny walking and then here just comes the head.
Yeah.
But people are saying like, even looking at like the size of the skull, mm-hmm. that you see in the show, it's massively better.
I just remember George talking about in an interview I watched him in once, and he was just like, someone said something about Drogon and he was like, well, he's not even like close to being the biggest dragon, right. And then people were like, what? And he's like, yeah, dude, Vhagar, Valerion, like those are the god. That dragon dive looked good.
Yeah, it looked good, didn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Yep, and that's what I'm saying. So yeah, some stuff I could see, you know, hey, that kind of looks cartoonish, but that looks phenomenal right there.
Oh, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Oh boy, what do we got going on here? We got a little crown. We got like, looks like we're in a dimly lit chamber, maybe a bed chamber.
Apparently we did miss Aegon somewhere in here, back of his head. someone said the back of his head. I don't know where.
Did we? So I guess, again, even chat can help me out with this and refresh my memory. The crown is taken, right? I felt like it was but it wasn't Rhaenyra. It was somebody who was a part of that.
No, it's the Kingsguard. The Kingsguard taken, and they crown Rhaenyra.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So it's just interesting that she's looking at this crown. I'll let it play through here. We can kind of see it. Look at the gold cloaks there, and then boom, right there, right? I mean, is that what I'm saying? I'm just wondering, does she take it? Is there something? Did she just find out that? Is this all going to go down differently? You know what I mean? That whole,
yeah,
we have a whole kind of like how this breaks down in this the book is, might be breaking down a lot differently in the show than what we think.
Well, the thing people need to remember about the books is, even comparing Game of Thrones is at least a direct point of view chapter. But one thing we know in Game of Thrones, it's always sort of alluded to that because they're point of view chapters, they could be misinterpreted.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Because you could have an unreliable narrator in both the World of Ice and Fire book and House of Fire and Blood. They flat out say you cannot interpret these as historical fact because there's two totally different people telling the story. And like they even talk about and they flat out say the other person's not telling the truth.
It's gonna be a rough outline.
So
it's gonna be fun to see like what ends up being truth, you know, at least on screen. Some people are pointing out in chat that this is Alicent, by the way, and that the crown is laying upon Viserys' dead body.
Could be,
yeah. So, that this shot right here is not of
Rhaenyra. That's Alicent.
Because we see her here.
Yeah,
but if you sort of look, the costuming's different.
I think. That would be just a refresh. I mean, just as I'm trying to think back through. So it's like Lyman Beesbury is the one, the master of coin, who is like insisting that Rhaenyra should be crowned. And then we know that he's killed and everyone's sort of like, no, we're not doing that. Rhaenyra is actually over on Dragonstone. And it's the
correct.
Some of the Kingsguard that will take it to her. So, OK, cool. That's interesting to kind of think about. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah, here's Cole training Aemon.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. After
he is, he feels like he's been slighted by Rhaenyra, which we'll find out what happened between them. That there is some question there in the book, so we will see. But he is clearly training her, opposition essentially.
Right. Yeah. The incident with the eye has already happened, and. Here we are. He's training him. Well, this is gonna be interesting to figure out what really did happen between those two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it really, I mean, George leaves it kind of wide open, even in Fire and Blood. Like, what's up? I mean, did there's some falling out? Did Daemon do something? Did she decline who? Yeah, exactly.
Was she ever really in love with him? I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot there.
Right. Right. I like that.
It's gonna be dramatic.
Okay. Cool. So he's swinging that. Boom. Best friends, Alicent and Rhaenyra. Look at the besties.
That's a sick scene.
Praying, I mean, together, grow. I mean, I don't know, guys. And then there they are, separated.
And that shot, by the way, if you go back, That is like, that's straight out of Fire and Blood. Like the anime, the like that picture they have in Fire and Blood.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It is the exact, it's so sweet.
Like for all the things that might change and stuff, I think we really should appreciate the fact that they are literally reimagining like an illustration from the book. Like that is so awesome. We're so lucky.
True. True. Yeah, we are. We
sound like a bootlicker right now, but I'm just so happy.
No, it's good. Right. It's good. I mean, all the detail on the helmets, on the armor, on right. the on the dresses, and
he looks fantastic.
I mean, Game of Thrones, to be fair, was. I know you, people can argue about this. Well, it's actually hard to say that Game of Thrones wasn't true to the source material because they ran out of source material to be entire. Now, of course, they didn't do Stoneheart and Young Griff, like whatever. But like, if you go back and you watch season one. Season one of Game of Thrones, the dialogue, I mean, is straight from the chapter. I mean, it is like word for word. There are segments where it's like, this is like literally the exact same thing they say to each other.
And this,
there really is no direct dialogue between the characters. So, but it just feels the same, you know?
So
it's hard to come up with something else. Like, I don't know. It's just so interesting when you see something where you like get your source material and then you jump from show to show and it feels the same. Like, because we really honestly don't have that as often as you'd think. I mean, you have to go from like Star Trek to Star Trek Next Generation or like the Star Wars movies to the Star Wars prequels where it's like same universe, a lot of the same, like, same stuff, and you just jump right into this new thing and it looks and feels the same.
There's also something to be said about passage of time within a visual medium that's already set in a kind of a historical era. Obviously this is Westeros, so it's not Earth, but very medieval-esque. And the thing that I think this trailer impressed me with the most, and we'll have to see if it holds up in the show, is that this actually does feel like it's in the past.
Right.
Even though, you know, Game of Thrones feels like it's in a historical setting, this feels older. Like they did a great job of capturing that in the passage of time between the two and this being earlier. And I hope that that continues in the show because, I think it comes through.
Yeah. So here's a question for you guys. The more we see of this, of all of the projects they could have done, because remember they were talking about doing The Long Night, which I think was a bad idea in the first place. You're going way, like, I'm not saying you couldn't do it in the future, but I'd like, to me, you're going way too far back.
Yeah.
Do you think that this was the right choice as to where to start?
Yeah.
Cause a lot of people are like, we should start with Aegon's Conquest. I don't think so. I think it's better to start here and branch out.
I think it's a good place to start for the casual audience because we do have all the houses established. The Baratheons have now made a name. They've moved up. Because if you go all the way back to the Conquest, you're going to have houses that no one's ever heard of. I don't know if that gets lost in the scuffle. I do think the Conquest would be an amazing thing to adapt. To do. Yes. Even a movie would be really cool. Without a doubt, this Conquest Duncan Egg, to me, there's source material there. I think it's really worth doing.
See, go ahead. Sorry.
I would say the only thing I'm worried about is that people were very upset when Dany did not get her throne. And Rhaenyra and her end. I wonder if people will say it's the same. Like, look, they're doing it again. I get a little worried about that.
To be fair, Rhaenyra does ultimately kind of win.
She does.
She does. While she doesn't sit the throne, her heir does sit the throne.
I could see.
Viserys wins. His grand.
Right.
But will the bottom of the barrel Twitter user see the difference? Is my question. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I know what you mean, because people, if they don't know anything about this or where this is going to go, they might not have any idea that a queen never did sit the throne. They're thinking
but look at that. I mean, hold on a second. The entire story of like the whole lineage of the Targaryens. Well, because you can count Dany and everybody else's conquest, John, you know, whatever, all the way up. It's all about the person who should get the Iron Throne doesn't. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, from the moment Aegon the first Targaryen steps off the Iron Throne, a political war ensues in which the person who actually should have the throne never gets it. After Aegon leaves, the clear, like, next ruler is not Aenys Targaryen. It should be freaking Rhaenyra. That Rhaenyra, or that Rhaenys, excuse me, Targaryen. It should be the one to happen. And then Maegor sits. It's like, absolutely not. So it's like, other than like King Jaehaerys, you know, then it should be Daemon Targaryen again, as I like to call him, because he is actually a Daemon Targaryen, because he has a Targaryen dad and a Targaryen mom. And Aegon the Fourth said he's legit.
Matt, so, now hold on. Except for the fact that the person who had the best story of all right, did sit the Iron Throne in the end. Okay, Bran sits the Iron Throne. My
friend. Okay,
how dare you?
Anywho,
we're here to watch the case of our mouth. Says what do you think?
I do think you need to do this before you do the Blackfyre Rebellion because they're very similar. Now, if the Jon Snow show introduces young Griff, and they go down that route,
that'd be cool.
Then you could set up a Blackfyre Rebellion show in the future because now people will know what it is.
Yeah, because he steps on, you're like, you start to, if it's revealed at some point that he is a Blackfyre in that,
and then you explain to everyone what the Blackfyres are.
Exactly. Yeah. What's a Blackfyre? That would be a really cool thing.
Especially because this show will introduce the sword Blackfyre.
That's right. And see
people
it.
People will begin to begin to piece that together.
Yeah, you know, I think this is a good place to start, Matt. I agree. I think
it's the easiest place to branch because you can go in two different directions.
It's also the one that has the most definitive ending, whereas the conquest does have obviously a definitive ending, but I don't know if it's as prominent. Like, I think they might have to take a little bit extra, what's the word I'm looking for? Some creative freedom.
Right.
With the conquest. But the conquest would also make a fantastic, like, 3.5-hour movie. Just saying. I'd love to see
it. Yeah. I do know, by the way, that Warner Brothers Discovery, I should say, is planning on doing a lot more. The idea is to tell stories on like a 40, like basically take a movie that would only exist on HBO Max. And is this something we could even like release in theaters or it could make more money? But like the idea is like have a budget of around 40 million. That's like a more character centric story. Mm-hmm. And so some of these, like I know like the easiest example is just DC, just because that's just what I know more of. But there is like an idea that they might do one for Harry Potter. To sort of finish up the Fantastic Beasts thing because it's a train wreck. So it's like really bad. So I know with like the Batgirl movie, so that is part of the DC extended universe, but that's like an HBO Max movie that's like that's gonna exist. Not like because of COVID, hey, they're releasing on HBO Max the same day, whatever. So they do want to tell more of these sort of like, here's $40 million to tell a movie that would like be an HBO movie, but if we can release it in theaters, great. So I think you could easily, as they're beginning to, we were talking about this before the show, that they are really beginning to see more and more and more of Westeros, not just being a thing that exists on HBO, but a much like, this is a clear cornerstone of Warner Brothers. We saw it in Space Jam. Arya is in the Multiverses game. I mean, right now, like, hey, this is like, it's like Batman, Wonder Woman, but then you've got like Shaggy from like Cartoon Network, Scooby-Doo and stuff like that. So I mean, it's like, these are like our big franchise characters, and Game of Thrones is included there as well. So it is very obvious that this is becoming one of their like cornerstones of the company.
So are you saying that you think they might do...
I definitely think we could get like HBO Max style movies of anything.
And Robert's Rebellion, Blackfyre Rebellion. I mean,
anything. 100%. Definitely think we could see
that's smart. I say to say that. I mean, it would be kind of cool because you look at like, you have a story where it's just like Aquaman and you're just telling his story inside of this bigger universe. And it's just like his thing. And he does his thing.
Right.
Because like Corlys Velaryon, feels like that whole series they're talking about with him, that kind of feels like that offshoot that they said that they might do, and you're like, all right, well, you know,
right? Because with streaming, there's an advantage and there's a disadvantage. The advantage of streaming is you can tell a story like, say, Kenobi, where you can say, hey, we can stretch this out into 6 episodes. Now, I think, to be fair, Kenobi, part of it was like it was going to be a movie, but then COVID happened and everyone freaked out and let's just get it out. But as you and I watched that, we're like, this should have been a movie. Yeah. So one of the advantages, though, is that you can tell sort of a movie because you are creating content, and not every story needs to be 6 to 8 to 10 episodes. Some things only need to be 2 hours.
Yes.
Or an hour and a half. And that's
mini series are where it's at, if I'm being honest.
And HBO freaking crushes it on miniseries.
Oh, the Watchmen miniseries. One of the best things I've ever seen.
I didn't watch it, but Mayor of Easttown. I know everyone was.
Oh my God. Mayor of Easttown.
Everyone was saying it's good.
One of the best shows I've ever watched.
Okay. Cool.
This is the crab dude on screen. Ezra, you asking in chat. Yeah. I can't recall his name, but there's actually a scene in the trailer where they show the beach after the battle and the crabs are coming up because he used to let people be right here. You see those crabs?
Yeah.
So he would lay people on the beach and have the crabs eat them.
Oh,
details.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So sick.
Crazy.
Dude, I didn't even really notice the crabs. You like the crabs? Because they just look like little, what are you thinking? Like, yeah, they're freaking crabs. The heck?
Crab
that
King.
Is Crab yes. King.
Crab.
Oh, my God.
I prefer Crab Dude. I don't know why, but that just made me laugh.
Oh, go. Can you stop it? It's like a second after that, right there. Boom. Look how sick that shot is.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all got the beach out there. The war's going on down there. And then we've got a dragon rider here.
I've never been so elated to see people be burned alive.
Just lighting them up.
That reminds me of scene. That scene in Game of Thrones, I want to say it's got to be season 7, where Jaime tries to take out Daenerys. Remember, they have that battle where she ends up killing Randall Tarly. But they have that sick shot of Drogon like coming in and just like it's like this side shot, and Drogon's just like burning everything down. Mm-hmm. There's like barrels exploding and stuff. Yeah, like so that's the difference. Favorites. It's like. That's one, like, Game of Thrones has, like, a handful of those scenes. This show's going to be, like, nothing but those scenes. It's going to be awesome. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's sick. Is that come right here? Are you talking about I think we're talking about this. Is this the pulling off the dress scene here? Are we talking about?
Maybe a little, nighttime scene with Daenerys. Yeah. Or, I'm going to say Daenerys. Yikes. Daemon and Rhaenyra. So.
Right. Huh? Was there something going on in the...
Yeah, we've seen a lot of photos and stuff of them on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you think that's happening on the beach then? Okay.
It gets messy. You get sand everywhere.
Yeah, it gets it's terrible. It
gets in everything.
Yeah. So again, we see the dagger there. We saw this earlier in the one trailer, first trailer, right? And then Damon just
backhands that dude in full plate armor.
Yeah,
would literally break your jaw.
He's just crazy. Now, what's really cool? Look,
that's Paul Dagger.
She pulls that off of who? I mean, watch her pull this dagger out. Boom. She pulled that off of somebody, right?
I think she just pulled. Yeah.
She like, it looks like this is, or is that her?
No, own? Is that her? That might be hers. Yeah.
Okay. Cause it looks like, but let's just go back and watch it. And
she pulls that off somebody. Cause it's a red jacket and she's wearing green.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like she went up to somebody and grabbed that off of their person.
And I do believe we do know who it is from the book. I just can't recall who it is.
With the dagger?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't either.
Well, later it's Bran. It could be Bran there. Because Bran could be from the future and, you know,
play. Holy!
Oh, man.
All right, so we have a dagger there. Let's just finish this up here so we get the little scene. We get the dragon. Oh, yeah, this is cool.
This is them struggling, and then she drops that line, everyone will see you for who you are. Which is such a good line. That's another thing about this that I want to compare. I mean, I know that we can all enjoy every show, but the one thing I've always noticed about other fantasy show trailers is I feel like they hide the dialogue. Like Rings of Power trailer does not have nearly enough dialogue for me to like kind of give me like that cozy feeling where I'm like, it's going to be okay. This trailer had a lot of dialogue from a lot of different characters, and all of it sounded good.
That's the best part of Game of Thrones. If you somebody broke it down and said like the dialogue gets like lower and lower as the seasons go on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is cool looking at this scene here. Just looks like they're saying Cole and Daemon are getting into it there. And then Corlys and Rhaenys protecting their grandchildren, including Luke. So let me go back here and look at this real quick. That's yeah, right over here on the left.
Yep.
Let's go. This will be an intense scene.
Yeah, and they're at the center. And then if you think about the whole history of them being friends, possibly in the show, this is really good.
Right. She's crying. So you've got Rhaenyra crying there with the dagger still in her face. My God. So it looks sick. I mean, we're at the end here of the trailer, but fellas, I'm impressed.
And we can't listen to it now, but how good was the music? Oh my goodness.
Well, it's Ramin Djawadi saying, you know,
goat
is back. It's so sick. And that's that's the thing is like, it's like just take Star Wars, for example. It's one of my biggest issues with the Kenobi show. Is like when you go from the Star Wars movie, the originals, the Star Wars prequels, you know, the big thing that makes it all feel cohesive together is the score. Is John Williams, you know, did the score on both, and it's like, boom, it feels Star Wars music. Okay. That's makes it feel the same. And that's what's going to be the same thing here is you have the same composer. And so it's going to feel the same. I mean, that's one of the things that brings it all together.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, there we go. We got some fire up in the chat going on now, friends. I mean, let's go.
Someone was asking about the theme, and I believe that we actually may have heard it in the first teaser whenever at the end it kind of looped into the Game of Thrones theme, like at the very end. I feel like that
could be the same.
You think they're going to use the Game of Thrones soundtrack?
I do. Theme? I mean, again, I'm going to hark back to Star Wars. Is why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, they should.
Star Wars prequels start the same way. So do the sequels. That's I can at least give them that. If the Star Wars sequels still start a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, I mean, I think I would just do the same intro. But
I mean, it's the greatest theme song ever.
And so freaking sick.
Yeah,
it's so hard to say.
I have hummed that every day for 10 years. I'm not joking.
I mean, just imagine the hype train. You're sitting down, you're like, I'm gonna rewatch this Game of Thrones show, and the music hits you, and you're like, oh yeah,
back.
Like,
yeah.
He's obviously so capable of creating something new, but it's just the intro is so sort of iconic and specific. Like, I think Star Trek, well, it has different music. I think its intro is still kind of like the same. It's like, you know.
I think it'll be some sort of there'll be a callback or a mix in of the original theme, but I do think there'll be something new about it.
I need to look at more things that have like, you know, they've come back and done multiple things. Mm-hmm.
During the original, so like in between seasons 1, 2, and 3 or whatever of Game of Thrones, wasn't there subtle like slight like just in terms of brightness and stuff like that?
So Game of Thrones season 1 and then seasons 2 through 8 have a different score. Season 1 is the version they play is slightly different than seasons 2 through 8.
Yeah.
Season 1 is much heavier on, I want to say like maybe cello, like it's just a darker. I don't know. Yeah. As you were in orchestra, you
hit the word. It's get the cello in there.
The cello. It feels
first
more like
I said cholo.
It feels more like cello, viola heavy. You know, as opposed to seasons 2 through 8, which are much more violin heavy.
But now here's the thing. I played the viola, so if they start bringing in like a little viola action on this, I mean, that's going to be just right in the center. That's a sweet spot.
Do we get a cover on the Bend the Knee channel?
Could you imagine if I tried to cover that? I haven't had a fiddle in 10 years.
I actually did a guitar version of it years ago. It's on my old Mac. I need to bust that out.
Yeah, man.
On the channel.
I'll get the banjo out and we'll do our own, you know, maybe season 2 House of the Dragon, they'll hit us up or something.
Let's go.
But I think it's going to be similar. And if it's, I could just change the tone or the brightness or give it something, you know what I mean? And it could be the same, but yet different. And this guy's good enough to do that. You know what I mean? So
for sure.
Cause people were breaking down the differences between the different season intros and what they like more. And
I would say the fact that they already used the Game of Thrones theme in the trailer tells me that they're gonna keep it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's a good question. What do you guys think will be the cold open of the season? So what do you think we're going to, you know, start with? Wow. Why? Children of the Forest. Oh my gosh. That's
I can honestly say I have no idea.
Yeah, I
know that's a crap answer, but
I'm trying to come up with one, so you just keep stalling for me here.
King, it starts with King Bran talking to Samwell Tarly, and he's like, let me tell you the history of like
so many people would turn to them.
I don't know. I think people would lose their shit. I think
Yeah, they'd be back in. So I don't know, because they have Jaehaerys, right? And we talked about this being linear. I'm
Dragonstone would be cool. Council 101 of 101 could definitely be it. Michaela's. Right. Oh, and Troy actually agrees. Dragonstone could be a great cold open.
Yeah, that's I like that. I like that a lot, actually. Just because you want to set this up and have people understand that this is all about the like who's next in line, right? And that you set this precedent in 101 AC, and we're not going to break from it. And then literally later in the same episode, flash forward to Viserys saying, Rhaenyra, it's my girl. And,
gentlemen, our stream has been taken off YouTube.
Has it really?
It says stream unavailable, and our stream went down because of suspended for policy violations for the trailer playing.
Oh boy,
they got us.
Well, how do we still have 100 people watching?
They're in the chat, but if you go look at your broadcast here, it says stream unavailable, and I don't think they can hear us.
They shut us down.
Well, they might be able to hear us.
Can you guys still hear us in the chat? Let us know. Let us know if you can.
I have it unmuted, and I don't hear anything.
Oh no! People are like, oh no! They're shutting us down.
Stream unavailable. Hey, let me tell you something, YouTube, because I know you're fucking listening here. Okay, I own stock in Warner Brothers. Okay, I own this fucking shit. Okay,
man, that's crazy that they can do that.
I literally own Game of Thrones. Okay. I mean, is it like 0.00001% of it? Yes.
Yeah.
So you can't take something from me that I already own.
So do we kick up another one? Because people are there.
I say we just go ahead and end this episode, go back to a hangout. What do you guys think? We can just kind of end this for our podcast. You know what I mean? And we'll end it and come back. Cool.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. Yeah. We'll end the broadcast and then we will relaunch.
Right. Yep. Sounds great. So friends, with that, remember as always
for the podcast, as always. Yep.
Fire and blood.